And while Travis is passing that out, I want to just kind of mention one of the buzzwords that if you get into a church and you've been there for a long time, of one of the things that happens at salvation is sanctification. Sometimes you'll hear the term progressive sanctification, meaning it's an ongoing process. And sanctification is a term that you'll read about in the Old Testament referring to vessels of the temple. And they would, when they came back from Babylon or something, they would take the vessels and they said they sanctified these vessels. And the term sanctified means set aside for a purpose. And typically there was a twofold process, of one being set aside or separated, which is kind of what we're going to be talking about today, and then also being purified or cleansed for that purpose that they have. And so within the, when we talk about salvation, there is a process of sanctification that goes on within the believer. And it's a twofold process of being set aside or separated from this world, today's lesson, as well as being made pure and holy, which we won't really get into. So as we get into biblical separation, I just want to quote a verse of 2 Corinthians 6, verse 17. As we get started, it says, "Wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and I will receive you." And so we see here that we have a command of God to come out and to be separated. And before we get any farther, let's go ahead and stop and have a word of prayer. Dear Lord, we just thank you again for your many blessings, for the privilege we have of being able to be called your sons and daughters. I thank you for each one that's come out this morning to hear your word. I pray that you prepare our hearts to hear it, Lord, and open up our eyes and our ears to be able to hear what you have to say this morning, Lord. I just pray that your power and your presence would be here, that you'd speak to us in a mighty way, that we would take these words and apply them to our lives, Lord, that we would come out of the world and be separate, Lord, that we might enjoy the benefits and the privileges and the relationship with you that you would desire, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. So as we go through this lesson, there's five parts in your outline, and I'm going to actually reverse bullets 2 and 3 when I discuss this and present it. But the first point is that The pastor has this nice little quote at the top of, what is the definition of separation? And it's, biblical separation is the process of you leaving the world and its ways and giving yourself totally over to God and his ways. Part of what I would refer to as sanctification, but pretty obviously separation, if you're separated for something, is that you're apart from it. And so the first thing that we try to understand in the first bullet here is that when we talk about the world and God, these are polar opposites. They're diametrically opposed. In 1 John 2:15 through 17, it says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." And so we continually see as we go through those two verses that, you know, there's the lust and the things of the world, and that's not of God. And all your desires of the world, that's not of God. The world is going to pass away, but God, if you follow his ways, that's going to abide forever. We have two opposites. And that's very important to understand that they are opposites. It's not just differences within the same pot. It's not like you have a salad and you have cheese and you have lettuce. But it's all mixed together. That's not the way it's supposed to be. It's more supposed to be, I'll say, oil and water. You put them together, they separate. The oil comes out of the water. And that's the way it's supposed to be in our lives as Christians, that we are to be separate from the world. Now I'm going to kind of twist that a little bit, because as we want to say we're going to be separate, even Christ as he preaches, not preaching, but as he's praying in John 17, he's praying to the Father for all believers. And he says, I pray not that thou wouldest take them out of the world, but thou wouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. And so Christ, even while he was on earth, he recognized he was in the world, but he was not of the world. There was a distinct difference there. And so, yes, we live physically in this world, but we are not to be tied and entangled with it. Philippians 3:20, this isn't in your outline if you want to add it, but he's talking to the believers, and he's in this passage, he says, follow me as I follow Christ. I'm an example, and follow those that you have as an example. And then he says, and there's some that don't do this, who follow the food and the lusts and whatnot. And he kind of gets to the bottom of that. And then in verse 20, he says, but our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he's got this contrast that there are those that are following the world, but we as Christians are not to do that. Our conversation or our citizenship is in heaven. And so that's the example we have. We had a memory verse. I'm trying to remember if it was 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago, but Hebrews 11:13. And it says, and these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off and were persuaded of them and embraced them, and confessed that there were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. So we see on that last line of that these people who God has made a note of in his Bible, the Hall of Fame or Hall of Faith, as Hebrews 11 is called, that they saw the promises of God and they believed them. And because they believed that, they said, this world, I'm only sojourning in this world. I'm a stranger and a pilgrim. And for those of you that heard the pastor, he had a whole message on that. So we could bore into that in great detail. But it's the whole mindset of separation. First of all, we have to understand that in our head that we are not to be part of this world and enjoy and mix in all the pleasures of it, but we're set aside for a much higher purpose. And that our citizenship is in heaven, and everything here is temporal. And if you're going on a long trip, or I think particularly I went out backpacking for the first time a few weeks ago, but as you're doing that and you realize you're going to have to carry everything on your pack and your back, every ounce starts to matter, and you realize you're going to be walking 10, 15 miles with this on your back. And you say, well, do I really, really need this, And you don't bring the big water cooler, and you don't bring everything else, and you figure out how to reduce it to the minimal amount. And as Christians, as we go through this world, we should have the same mindset. Do I really need to invest in all the things of this world? Or should I start investing for the things of eternity? Because I'm just passing through. This is all temporal. I'm getting a little bit sidetracked on all the things, but it's important that we understand that God's things are diametrically opposed, and we're only strangers, and we're only passing through. And so as you understand that, let's go back and look a little bit of some of God's teaching. And the supporting material for that big picture, if you will. That's the big picture, is that we are to be separated and the things of this world are not God's things. But let's look at it in the Bible, and we're going to go to Leviticus, point number, main bullet 3. I'm going to walk through there. Leviticus 20 and 22 through 26. And let's see what kind of how the Old Testament and how this is illustrated. It says, ye shall therefore keep all my statutes and my judgments and do them, that the land whither I bring you to dwell therein spew you not out. And ye shall not walk in the manner of the nations which I have cast out before you. For they committed all these things, and therefore I abhorred them. But I have said unto you, ye shall inherit their land, and I will give it unto you to possess it, a land that floweth with milk and honey. I am the Lord your God, which have separated you from all other people. Ye shall therefore put difference between clean beasts and unclean, and between unclean fowls and clean, and ye shall not make your souls abominable by beasts, or by fowls, or by any manner of living thing that creepeth on the ground, which I have separated from you as unclean. And ye shall be holy unto me, for I am the Lord, for I the Lord am holy, and have severed you from other people, that ye should be mine. And the context of this is the Israelites had been brought out of Egypt. They're still in the wilderness. They have yet to commit sin. So this is on their first time headed towards the promised land. And God is giving them some directions. And he tells them, you know, I have separated you from the world. I have taken you out of Egypt. I have given you this promised land. But you are my people. And I want you to be a holy people. I don't want you to mingle with the other people of these lands because they have committed sin and abominations before me, and I abhor them. I disgust them. I want to spew them out of my mouth, and I don't want you to be like them. And so I want you to stop and realize a little bit of when God says this to the Israelites, it's kind of like me walking up to someone and saying, I'm going to give you this really great car. Brand new Lexus or you know, pick your favorite car. Really expensive. But I want you to treat it with care, and I want you to use it for God's glory. And those are my directions. And what would happen if I turned around in the next week and I happened to meet you somewhere and the car was absolutely filthy, piled with it was scratched up on the outside like you'd driven it through a blackberry bush or a hedge, and there was all sorts of, you'd been eating at fast food restaurants, and there was the bags on the floor and some fries, and the greasy smell had permeated the car, and not only that, it was parked in the parking lot of a bar, and you were kind of half drunk and sitting in your car. You think that would please me? I had given you this very expensive car, and I, you know, would have had to work really hard to give you that car because I can't afford it. But that's the same illustration of God. He gave Israel this promised land, the ultimate blessing, a land that was going to be incredibly prosperous. And he's laying down his guidelines for them. And the strange thing is these guidelines are for their benefit, for their own blessing. So when God says, I want to make a separation between the clean and the unclean, we need to pay attention to that, because that's what that whole, there was in the middle of that in verse 25, he says, ye shall therefore put difference between clean beasts and unclean, between unclean fowls and clean, and ye shall not make your souls abominable by beasts. So here we have just a little phrase of God says, I want you to understand that there's a difference between clean and unclean, and put a difference between them. And that's the picture of Israel. But as we go forward, and we're going to flip forward to 2 Corinthians chapter 6, I want to read how he says it in the New Testament. Because it's not just an Old Testament principle that applied just for Israel, but this is for all believers. And he says, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord has Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. And there's a lot of thoughts in this thing, but first of all, he starts out, and he goes through, I don't want you to be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. And he says, because you need to understand there's a difference between clean and unclean, between holy and profane. And he illustrates, and he pounds that in by saying it in about seven different ways. The same thing he taught Israel, Paul is teaching the church today, that God wants us to be separated from the world. And unlike the Israelites, where God could say, I took you out of the world, I have separated you, he actually says, I have severed you. Think of an illustration of a knife ripping you and slicing you away from the world. God did that for Israel. He took them there. But here Paul says, I want you to separate yourself from the world. We're given a command to do it. God hasn't done it for us, but we have, I'll say, the obligation to separate ourselves from the world if we want to enjoy God's privileges. And then let's go ahead and look back at Leviticus 10, 9 through 11. A little bit reinforce this concept and look at how in Israel God had set it up. And I'm going to actually back up verse 8 so we get a little bit of the context. And they said, and the Lord spake unto Aaron, saying, and realize Aaron is the first high priest, and it was through his lineage that you have the priesthood of Israel. So he's talking to the priests of Israel and giving them guidance and direction. And he says, do not drink wine nor strong drink, thou nor thy sons with thee, when ye go into the tabernacle of the congregation, lest ye die, and it shall be a statute forever throughout your generations, and that ye may put difference between holy and unholy, and between unclean and clean, and that ye may teach the children of Israel all the statutes which the Lord hath spoken unto them by the hand of Moses. So here we have an illustration, a second thing of, want to stop and realize, God told all of Israel, I want you to be the separated from the world. I want you to make a difference between holy and unholy, between common and the profane. And now he's telling Aaron and the priesthood, don't drink anything because I want you to understand and show that there's a difference between the holy and the unholy. It was very important to God. And we're going to realize that the point of telling the priesthood specifically is captured in verse 11, that ye may teach it. It wasn't just a direction for them, but it was also guidance of what they were going to have to share and they were going to have to teach. God realized that when he laid out this commandment, it wasn't good enough just to say it once. We're human. We need it reiterated many, many, many times. And so he laid out this as part of his statutes, and he told the priesthood that you need to teach the people. And not only do you need to teach it, you need to live it. And there's, if you look through all of the aspects of being a priest, they were separated even from Israel. They were not given a possession in the land. Their possession was the Lord's. They had certain special regulations of who they were to marry and how they were to marry so that they would not mix the profane, even within Israel and all the sins, that they would not mix that with the priesthood. Because they were to be special and they needed to live that out as an example in their lives so that they could teach the people. That's how important this is to God. And we look forward in Ezekiel chapter 22, verse 26. And we start to see a little bit here at this point. I'm trying to remember if they're in Babylon or coming back from Babylon. No, this would have been, they're still, their kingdom is about to be destroyed by Babylon. Get the time frame a little bit. And he's very unhappy with Israel because they have left the Lord. They have left those teachings and they've mixed with the world, and he's going to condemn them and he's going to judge them, and they're going to go into 70 years of bondage to Babylon. So as we read verse 26 here, it says, her priests have violated my law and have profaned my holy things. They have put no difference between the holy and profane, neither have they showed difference between the unclean and the clean, and have hid their eyes from my Sabbaths, and I am profaned among them. And it's interesting to note that when God says, part of his explaining to Israel of why you're going to go into Babylon, why I am judging you, why I am taking this unholy and wicked nation and condemning you and sending you into their nation and allowing them to be rulers over you, is not just because the nation fell and just because the nation failed to keep their separation, but it was also because the priests failed in their duty and their obligation. So the blame started with the priests, who that was their job, to teach the people. So the people left, but it was a failure of the priests to be able to teach it. And it's interesting because if you look forward in chapter 44, Christ is, in this passage, looking beyond the bondage. He says, someday I'm going to come back and I'm going to draw you to myself. I'm not going to forsake you entirely. He's giving them some promise of hope to look forward to it. But there's a couple of things that he points out in here. And if you look at Ezekiel 44, and I want to point out verse 15, because we just read how the priests had failed in their obligation to God to teach what was so important, that separating from the world is critical. And but God says, but the priests, the Levites, the sons of Zadok, that kept the charge of my sanctuary when the children of Israel went astray from me, they shall come near to me to minister unto me, and they shall stand before me to offer unto me the fat and the blood, saith the Lord God. So here we have a very, very small select group of priests who had been faithful. While most of them have been unfaithful, and God says earlier in this chapter that those are going to be condemned and they're going to be kicked out of the priesthood. I don't want anything left to do with them relative to serving before me. They've lost it. They've lost their privileged position. But there is these few people, this one family, that had remained faithful. And God said, I saw that, and they are going to have, the whole priesthood is going to come out of this family, and I am going to bless them. And it goes through this whole chapter, starting at verse 15, of all the things that this group of priests are going to do. And it reiterates what priests should be doing all along. And one of those things, if you look in verse 23, it says, and they shall teach my people the difference between the holy and profane, and cause them to discern between the unclean and the clean. And so here we have a promise of God. It says, when I draw you back as a nation and I reestablish this kingdom, which really didn't happen until, well, 1948, Israel became a nation, but they still haven't seen the final fulfillment of the blessings that God wants to give them. But he says, when all of that happens, they are going to teach you the difference between the clean and the unclean and the clean, the holy and the profane. So I kind of want, you know, realize in the big picture of the Bible, God is spending a lot of time and importance that we understand this. And it's, you know, it's foundational to how we live our lives. It's not just a thought, it's not just a doctrine, but it's something that needs to influence how we live and change what we do. If we're consumed with the things of this world, we'll never hear God. We'll never hear his voice. How many people you hear, they say, I want to know the Lord's will for my life. It's easy to know the Lord's will if you can hear his voice. Most people are not separated from the world, and I would say most Christians, even in our church, which is a good church, are not separated enough from the world to be able to hear that voice. I know I can say for most of my life, I have not been able to hear his voice on a clear basis. But I do know that there have been a few times when I truly was able to separate out from the world and I became focused on the things of God for a period of time. And this is not a day, this is not a week, but it's months, that you really get focused on it and you start praying and you start begging God to teach you, that he starts answering. And all of a sudden you start understanding and hearing his voice and everything. Your eyes are opened, you understand, you're enlightened. And it's a very special thing. But we all have this temptation to go back to the world, so I can't say that I'm perfect. But why is this so important, and what is the foundation? Why is God so concerned with us being able to separate from the holy and the profane? And part of it has to do with his own honor and his own glory. And as we look back at 1 Corinthians 6:15, and this is bullet number two in your outline. We have to realize that our lives, when we accept Jesus Christ, our Savior, are not really our own. And so we read, know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of a harlot? God forbid. What? Know ye not that for which he which is joined to a harlot is one body? For two, saith he, shall be one flesh. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's. Okay. So here we have a couple of things that God points out. First of all, he says, you're not your own. I have bought you. But far more important than that is he's starting to lay a principle that once we have accepted him, our bodies are members of Christ. We are joined onto Christ. And so when God says, I want to separate the holy from the profane, realize that Christ is holy. And if I'm part of Christ, he says, I want to separate everything away from me that's unholy. And he's given us the commandment to be separated. But if we cleave to the unholy, I can't be joined to Christ. I can't have the relationship and the fellowship that he desires. And I'm bringing shame and disgrace upon his name because I'm not keeping that separation that there should be. And it's a very close and an intimate thing. It talks, it refers in verse 18, it says, flee fornication. For every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. And so we have an illustration and a concept of purity in a sexual relationship between a man and a woman. And why is it so important, the concept of marriage? Biblically, we have a man and a wife, and they're to be separated from their families. They're come together and joined into one flesh. That's the biblical example. And that's why God gave us marriage, is so that we can understand the things that are far more important than marriage, that we can understand our relationship with God. Because that's exactly the illustration when it says we are joined onto Christ that he's talking about. He's given us the institution of marriage so that we can understand how closely we are linked to Christ. And he's going to say if you look at bullet number four, exactly how displeased God is if we aren't separated. And I'm going to quote James 4:3-4. It back up. It says, you have not because you ask not, and you ask and receive not because you ask amiss that you might consume it upon your lusts. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of this world is enmity with God? Whosoever will therefore be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Have to know if I have time for more illustrations and examples, but realize that if we desire the friendship and the fellowship of this world, that we are the enemies of God. We are joined onto Christ, and he's using incredibly strong words of ye adulterers and adulteresses. We have committed spiritual fornication against Christ when we have a desire to be joined onto the world. And I think, personally, this is one of the strongest arguments of why you shouldn't drink. You can go through, and I have to admit that if you are a Christian and you drink, you can probably twist most of the passages in the Bible to kind of justify yourself. You can say that all those in Proverbs, Well, that's wisdom, but it doesn't say it's sin. I'm saying I'm right up to the line, but I'm not going to cross it. Well, I'm not sure I completely agree with that, but maybe you can twist that. You can make a pretty good case that in the New Testament, the word wine is simply meant to be crushed fruit, and therefore you have to look at the context, and once you're looking in the context, you can manage to twist a lot of things if you're trying to. But I get to the point of, why do you want to drink? And honestly, why do you want to drink? You know, everything in the Bible, all the wisdom, we know that any drunkard won't enter into heaven. So we've already known and established that you go a little bit too far, and wherever that line is kind of hazy, you won't enter into heaven. And the number one answer that I can think of and that I have heard is, well, I do it socially. And let me translate that. I want to be like the world. I want to fit in. Have you not read James 4:4 that says friendship the world is, you're the enemy of God. You're bringing shame and disgrace, and God wants absolutely nothing to do with you. How many other sins do we commit in the same vein? How attached are we to this world? I want to look very briefly at some of the benefits of being separated. God has laid out this picture. We have illustrations of Israel and what he did for them and why they were to be separated. And ultimately, it was for their own benefit, because as we follow God, he gives us his commandments and his things for our benefit, for our best effort. If you want joy and peace and happiness in a family, you follow God's commandment of being pure until you're married. There's any study you want to look at. If you follow that, you will be the most happy, period. But we all want to compromise. We all want to do something short of that. In the spiritual life, you look at the people that are the happiest and the most joyful and the most enthusiastic. They are the most separated from the world. They're living their life with zeal for the Lord. And so it's for our benefit. Read in Proverbs 18:1. It says, through desire, a man having separated himself seeketh for and intermeddleth with all wisdom. And it's an interesting verse. It says, through desire. First of all, there's a recognition that I want something. I'm going to desire something. And ultimately, what I'm desiring in that verse is seeking for and intermeddleth is a really screwy word to me, but the best I can understand is I want to ponder, I want to meditate, I want to chew on all the aspects of wisdom, because I am searching for wisdom and I desperately want it. And I believe the Lord will bless you with that. But there's this phrase in the middle, having separated himself. If I really want wisdom, I'm going to have to separate myself from all the chaos of this world. I was listening to a kid's story the other day, and it was one of the kids had an exam on Friday, and this was like Monday, and they were struggling how they didn't want to study all the week. They wanted to wait till Thursday night and cram. But one of the things of going through the course of the story was, well, how do I study? How do I help learn? And one of the things is, well, turn off the TV, go to your room, and find a place where you can concentrate. Perfect example of separating. I have to separate from things if I want to focus on learning. But it's the same thing with Christ. If I want to have fellowship with Christ and I want to know those privileges, I have to separate. And it's through desire and a purposeful decision that I'm going to make that head in that direction. And the last verses of 2 Corinthians 6:17 and 18, we read that whole passage. It says, wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and I will receive you, and I will be your father, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Realize what God the Father is saying. I want you for my children. I want to have that close family relationship of kids and their dad. That's what God wants. That's what he desires. That's what he has promised us. 1 John 3:1 says, "Behold, what manner of the love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure." I'm not sure if I got all that correct, but we have God. Just stop and think of how much love God has bestowed that we should be his kids, his children. And if we really grasp that and we understand that, says we're going to purify ourselves if we have this hope, if we're looking forward to our future citizenship in heaven. If that's my hope, I'm not placing hope in financial riches. I'm not looking for security in this world. I'm not looking in all the, I'll say the wrong places that invoke some other connotations, but it's true. If I'm not looking at this, but I'm looking up and I'm saying, that's where I'm going to head. That's where I'm spending eternity. That's where I'm laying up my treasures. I'm not laying up treasures on this earth because that's void. That's empty. I'm going to do some things. I'm going to separate. I'm going to make sure that my backpack is as light as it can be because I want to go as fast and as far and get to Christ as soon as possible. So as we talk about biblical separation, there's this whole spectrum of God has commanded Israel. He took Israel out of the world. He has called us out of the world as when we are saved. He has commanded us to be separated. He has given us priests and, I'll say, the pastors in the New Testament direction to remind us that we are to be separated so that we understand the difference of the holy and the profane, that we understand that we are joined unto Christ, that we have the gift of the Holy Spirit and that we are the temple of God and our bodies are His, and therefore we should be glorifying and honoring Him. If not just for his, because of what he has done, we are obligated to do that. But he has also given us promises and privileges and blessings if we will do it. And that we should be looking forward to the things ahead. And all of that should be motivating us. So the next time you feel tempted to turn on the TV and consume that garbage and that trash, or the next time you turn on some music that isn't pleasing to the Lord, or the next time you find yourself in a conversation that isn't honoring and glorifying to the Lord, or the next time, pick 1,000 other things. I hope you're reminded and convicted that God is with you. God wants to have fellowship with you. And the question that I will leave you with is, do we desire that fellowship, and how badly do we desire it? Because it's through desire a man, having separated himself, seeketh and intermeddleth with all wisdom. It's through desire that we are going to purpose in our hearts not to defile ourselves, as it says in Daniel 1:8, that he purposed in his heart that he wouldn't defile himself. Are we willing to be separated so that we can enjoy the benefits and the privileges of this life? And before I close, I'll give you a brief introduction. Next week is staying on the right path. We talked about some of the relationships. The last four lessons is when I did an outline. I talked, these were as you became a Christian, you have different relationships. A couple of weeks ago, you studied about the local church, and that was your relationship with all your fellow Christians and how you were to be part of a body and members of that body. Today, we looked at our relationship with the world, and it's really one that we shouldn't have. We should be separate from the world. Next week, staying on the right path is our relationship with the devil, our enemy. But let's go ahead and close with a word of prayer. Dear Lord, I just thank you again for your many blessings, for your privilege of being called your sons and daughters. Lord, and even as we studied this morning about separation, biblical separation, Lord, and how you've commanded it to Israel, you've taught it to your church, you have recorded it in your word, and laid it out in a thousand ways so that we might start to grasp and comprehend it. Lord, I pray that you would help us to see that it's very offensive to you when we look for the things of this world, Lord, and help us to open our eyes just how entangled we are with it, Lord, even as Paul exhorted Timothy to be not entangled with this world. I pray that we would recognize all those things that are entangling us and that we would, through desire, separate ourselves and purify ourselves, that we might be pleasing in your sight, Lord, and that we might enjoy the benefits and the blessings that you want to give us, Lord. I pray that we would truly be a church that is separated and pure and holy so that you might use us for your honor and your glory. Lord, I thank you for each one that's come out this morning. I pray that you'd bless them for their faithfulness, Lord, and just work in this church and the service that follow in a special way. In Jesus' name, amen. And with that, you're dismissed.